All right, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, Glenn Ostlund, and I'm joined tonight by my good buddy, Tom Perry. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Glenn. I'm doing great.
Well, you don't sound very great. That sounded kind of tired.
Well, I guess, you know, when you call me your buddy...
Yeah?
I'm hoping that we're still friends after all the fights we've had.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you brought it, because I was going to ask you, you know, I thought, you know, before we introduce our guests, we should probably clear the air, because my sister's here visiting me for Thanksgiving, and she says, what's going on with you and Tom? It sounds like you guys have been kind of going at each other on the podcast. So, I mean, is there anything that we need to say?
Maybe we need to... meet up with Natasha and get some stuff cleared up. I'm not sure. I've always considered you a really good friend, so I always thought we were just kind of ribbing. But
yeah, I think
clear the air publicly now, right?
I think everybody should know there's nothing going on. It's just that Tom likes Nine Inch Nails. I like the Beatles. I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, it's all good. So you know, tonight's episode I'm really excited about. I've been looking forward to this for a while, actually. Our special guest is the one and only Justin Hackworth. Actually, I guess there's more than one Justin Hackworth, aren't there?
Yeah, there's another guy. I know of six that are on Facebook, but there's another guy in Salt Lake. I live in Provo. There's another guy in Salt Lake whose name is Justin Hackworth.
So, yeah, okay, but there's only one Justin Hackworth that's behind the one and only Bishop Higgins blog.
I'm the only one.
The only one there, and I have been a big fan of the Bishop Higgins blog for several years, so I'm very pleased to welcome Justin to Mormon Expression. So welcome, Justin.
Thank you.
So why don't we start just with a little bit of background? Maybe you can tell us about yourself, Justin, some just general background in the church, mission, school, family, career, whatever you want to talk about. Go.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Rexburg, Idaho. I was born in Pocatello and lived my whole life in Rexburg.
Uh-huh.
I went to Ricks College, and called Ricks College back then, and went on a mission to Indiana. And then after that, I went to the University of Utah.
And, yay!
Since then. Yeah, go Utes.
Yeah.
And I live in Provo now. I'm married. I have two kids. And they're little guys, little boys. And I work as a photographer. That's how I make my living. I do weddings and portraits, and it's a really good way to go.
Yeah, and I've taken some time to look through your you've got a blog where you have a lot of your pictures posted, and got some really nice work up there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you don't do any shoe repair?
No, I don't do shoe repair. I thought that would just be one last joke, one
okay.
last way to end it. I do not
All
do.
Right.
And you also have a beard.
Yeah, I have a beard.
Why?
Because I don't have hair. I'm bald, and I just think I gotta mix it up some way. So I have a beard.
Now, has that created any problems for you in the church, walking around with a beard on?
Well, yeah, it gets caught in cogs.
Yes. Okay.
And I get mustard in it, and that's caused a lot of problems.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't think it's caused any problems at all.
Okay. Well, my brother-in-law did have a bishop ask him to shave his beard once if he wanted to. I think it was some calling like young men's president or something like that. I don't know what it was.
No one's asked me to shave.
All right. Well, I want to tell you a little story. About a friend that I had a couple of years ago. He came out of the closet, nobody in Bloomington had really suspected at all that he was gay. And I asked him how he first knew, or what it was that first kind of triggered him that he knew that he was gay. And he told me that he thought it started with envy. That he would look at other guys, he'd look at their bodies, and he'd wish that his body was as good as their body. And the only reason that I'm really telling you this, Justin, is if you're ever walking down the street and a man you've never met before suddenly gives you flowers, that man might be me.
Okay.
Because at the same time that you started your Bishop Higgins blog, I had a similar idea for a fake satirical Mormon character that I called Elder Stephen Erastus Knudsen III.
Yeah.
This was a blog that I started that didn't come anywhere near to what you developed with Bishop Higgins. My guy was basically the self-righteous, kind of mean-spirited guy that, you know, he wrote his mission presidents to his mission even after he'd been back from his mission for years. And
so you're playing off life experiences?
Now, there you go. You're going to confuse people again, Tom.
Alrighty, sorry.
Yeah, you know, but Bishop Higgins was much more endearing and lighthearted, and just the sense that I got when I was reading through Higgins was that people really gravitated towards. You know, there wasn't anything really mean spirited. That there wasn't. I mean, you kind of poked fun at cultural elements of the church without really going at anything mean. I thought, don't think I really knew where to draw those lines. So, again, it's a privilege for me to be able to speak with you, and I'll be interested as we go through this conversation to see, you know, where you were able to draw those lines, and maybe where I kind of failed on it
okay.
a little bit, if you have any sense of that at all.
Okay.
But before we really get into the Bishop Higgins thing, just to find out a little bit more about Justin Hackworth, I prepared a random pop quiz.
Okay.
So I've got just 10 quick questions I'd like to run by you. And since we are doing this interview the day after Thanksgiving, some of these will be tied into some Thanksgiving traditions. So the first one, pumpkin pie or apple cobbler?
Oh, apple cobbler.
Okay. White meat or dark meat?
We're talking about turkey, right?
It's whatever you want.
Dark meat.
Okay. The Beatles or Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah. So those are my only choices.
Yeah.
I have to say the Beatles.
Oh.
Okay. The best modern beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit or Be Kind, Rewind?
Well, I love Be Kind, Rewind. I think that was even – it seems like there was something on the blog about Be Kind, Rewind.
Well, I think you might see some familiar material crop up in the rest of these.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. Provo, Utah or Provo, Spain?
Wow, there's a Provo, Spain?
Well, that's a Fletch reference for any Fletch fans out there.
I'd say Provo, Spain. I want to go to Provo, Spain.
Okay, a best slogan for Provo, spreading homogeneity since 1902, or if unicorns had survived the flood, this is where they'd live.
Oh, jeez.
If unicorns had survived the flood, this is where they'd live.
Okay, I like that one too. All right, number seven, would you rather baptize the Hunchback of Notre Dame or Captain Hook?
Probably Captain Hook. He's so bad.
Yeah, he does have that kind of redemptive quality about him that you do want to save, right?
He needs saving.
He does. In the Hunchback of Notre Dame, you know he's just kind of going to be saved anyway.
I want to baptize the Captain Hook and then see if that hand would grow back.
That would be awesome. Cool. Number eight, what smells better, solvent or magic markers?
Oh, magic markers.
Okay. Pippi Longstockings or Jenny Thongston?
Jenny Thongston.
Okay. And then finally, loud laughter or loud giggling?
Loud giggling.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Yeah. So, and of course, most of those were taken directly from your Bishop Higgins blog, which, again, I think was just fantastic. So you started the blog in May 2006, and maybe you could just talk a little bit about why you started it. What was it that motivated you to begin Bishop Higgins?
Well, that was so long ago. I honestly don't remember exactly, but I'll tell you this: that I grew up. I told you I grew up in Rexburg.
Yeah,
and the ward where I grew up had so many funny people in it. I mean, there's just, it was just character after character. I mean, not, I mean, very odd and strange, lovable people. And it seemed like for a long time, I've got to find a way to talk about these people.
Mm-hmm. Are these people you laugh with or laugh at?
Mostly laugh gently at.
Gently.
Okay. Let me tell you a quick story that was never on the blog, but this really happened. One time when I was, you know, like 15 or whatever, we went into the bathroom. We're sloughing Sunday school, and we went into the bathroom, and it stunk so bad, and we were saying, oh, my gosh, it stinks so bad in here. What happened? And then out comes this guy, this big guy in our ward. I won't say his name, but he came out, and he'd been in there, you know, dropping off some friends at the pool. And so we were so embarrassed, and I can't believe this happened, but this is true. I said, oh, hey there, brother, blah, blah, blah. I heard you were in Vietnam. Did you ever kill anyone? So that was my way of diffusing the situation. Uh-huh. So
wow.
You know, there are those kinds of things that happen all the time. And I thought, we got to find a way. I want to find a way to write about this. And I thought, if I did, I bet my brother would laugh at most of this. So that's really what happened. And to get people to read it, the way I first started spreading the word is I would go on Craigslist, the religious forum on Craigslist, and I would write comments like, "Can you believe this guy? This guy's crazy. He should get excommunicated." And that's how I try to juice up, you know, some interest in the blog.
So, is your brother? Is he a younger brother or an older brother?
Yeah, I have two younger brothers.
Two younger brothers. Okay. Boy, I've got a couple questions from what you said. Let me go the family route. What was your family's reaction in general to it? Brothers, any sisters, parents?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just as I had hoped, my brothers loved it. My youngest brother knew it was me right away.
Yeah.
When I sent him a link, he knew it was me right away. My other brother, the one that's 2 years younger than me, read it for about a year, and he would tell me about it and send links. And then one day we were, you know, he came to town and we were going somewhere, and he was telling me about the latest thing on Bishop Higgins. And I said, "Hey, listen, Bishop Higgins is me. That's me. I'm writing that." And he just died. He couldn't believe it. His jaw dropped and he just was staring at me forever. What? He couldn't believe it. And I have to tell you, that was the best thing about that blog, was that to see his reaction when I told him it was me.
Yeah.
I loved that. So that was what went on there.
At the time, did he know that it was a joke that someone was pulling, or did he think it was a real person doing it?
No, most people knew it was a joke.
Okay.
I mean, there was a sliver of people who couldn't figure it out, but there weren't very many of those.
Yeah.
So my youngest brother, for some reason, told my mom, and that made me really mad, because she has a higher tolerance for getting offended than I do.
Uh-huh.
And I certainly didn't want to make her mad or like embarrass her or something like that. And so there was one about a pole dancing, like someone got, it was early post. Someone got confused about dancing around the maypole, and instead they got a stripper pole or something. And there was a picture of a girl with a, you know, there was stuff like that. That I thought, ah, oh, geez, she's going to see that. So, when she found out about it, it wasn't quite as fun as it was when no one knew it was me.
Uh huh. Did you take things down?
Yeah, there were a couple things that got taken down.
Yeah. Okay.
Did your mom really ever get offended?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think she called or emailed and was crying about something. But it was
crying.
It was something I wouldn't have expected. I think it was something about, you know, it wasn't about it wasn't a sex-related thing. I think it might have been something about excommunication. Yeah. There was something about excommunication, and she emailed and said, you know, excommunication is never funny.
Right.
And okay, so I felt bad about that.
Yeah. I mean, I had similar experience, right, because I had this satirical character as well, and of course my mom knew that I was doing that, and there are still times where she'll tell me that she was sitting in a sacrament meeting and she'll think, oh, how would Knudsen react to something like this? So it's kind of been embedded in her memory and she can't shake it. But
well, how did she know it was you?
Well, mine was when I was at BYU, I created this character as part of a satire class. And so she read that paper, and then later did it become part of a blog idea that I did. So it was a character before it became that.
Got it.
But yeah. But anyway, so another question I wanted to ask. So you said you'd go on to Craigslist and you'd kind of stir up interest from outside, yeah, and draw them into the blog. Did you also comment on your own posts as a way of generating conversation about those posts?
I don't think so. I don't recall that I ever did.
Okay. There was one that I saw earlier on that was about, let's see, I may have written it down, about a kid that had a terrible testimony. It was the bishop, you know, it's from the point of view, yeah, of the bishop saying, oh, that testimony was just awful.
Yeah.
And then one of the commenters said, oh, yeah, and everybody in their family has terrible testimonies too. I've been keeping track. And I couldn't tell if it was you that was adding to it as a joke or if that really was someone else that was just playing along.
No, I don't recall that I ever did that. Okay. I'm pretty sure I never did. And I also wasn't very good about responding to other people's comments when they would comment. I mean, responding as the bishop.
Yeah.
And why is because I didn't know how to in character. So here's what would happen is I would think up something funny that I thought was funny, and I would make a note, okay, next time at my computer, I'll make this post. And so these ideas would sort of come to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that never really happened with people's comments. And so I didn't never want to comment back because I wanted it to be, you know, in the same voice, and I hoped that there was a certain level of humor, and I could never do that with people's comments. So that was one drawback, but like for me, a deficiency that I didn't interact enough.
Mm. What was that creative process like for you? Where do you feel like you got most of the inspiration for the posts?
Well, like I've said before, a lot of it came from this ward grew up in Rexburg.
So a lot of it was just from your past that you were carrying around with you?
Yeah, and it's actually the third ward.
Yeah.
So just, you know, I've been a Mormon my whole life, and I love the church. I think there's a lot of, you know, it's wide open for things to laugh at and joke about, mostly the people.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm 42. I've been thinking about these kind of things for a long time.
Yeah.
What about your style of humor? Because personally, I really get drawn to that kind of humor. But sometimes your humor obviously gets a little bit edgy. And I imagine you do that on purpose just to kind of get a little bit of a reaction. Is that intentional?
It's – I don't know how to – in terms of the style – the blog was perfectly suited for those kinds of things because since I've quit doing the blog, I've wondered what else can I do? What's another way that I can write stuff that I think is funny, you know? But it's not the blog. It's not the third ward again. It's not Bishop Higgins again. What can I do? And I don't know what that is. So I just think that thing was it was perfectly suited for my sense of humor. And then in terms of being a little edgy, I didn't ever want to hurt anyone's feelings or poke fun of stuff where people were sensitive. Although I'll have to say, I don't have the same threshold as other people. And so, you know, my threshold is a little lower than, say, my wife's. And I I regret that she ever was offended or that my mom was. So I wasn't doing it on purpose to, yeah, that's just the stuff I thought about. Like, you know, I think a guy with one arm shorter than another, I think there's something funny about that. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It's a little arm. A guy's got a little arm.
Why not stand up? I think that would be great. If you haven't already tried it, you should try it, I think.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Thomas. I don't know how to take what I'm thinking about and writing about on the Bishop Higgins blog, or was writing about. I don't know how to translate that into a stand-up act. For me, they're two different things, and I don't know how to do that. Hmm. I've seen a lot of bad stand-up, and I think maybe I'm, you know, scared of that. I think stand-up is hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like with anything that you were doing with Higgins that you were trying to make any kinds of statements at all about the church?
No, not intentionally. Only, like, now that it's done, I would say I can, you know, it sort of stands on its own that there's things that we can laugh and joke about.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it, I think this is what something, this is, I didn't really expect or have any intention or any idea about who the audience would be. But what I love about it is that it bridged people who have left the church and have a little antagonisms, or what am I trying to say? Like animosity towards the church. But there's also people like me who are strong Mormons and love it. And this, I thought the Bishop Higgins blog brought those people all together, and we could all laugh together at, you know, certain situations.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it looked to me like the very first post that you had, and I think this was the first post, in May 2006, it says, "Just wanted to let you all know that Sister Peterson is still having her headaches, and we request that you continue to pray for her. Also, if anyone has any aspirin that she can borrow, then that would be appreciated. Blessings, Bishop Gerald Higgins." And you've got to forgive me, because we were talking before we started recording that I was studying folkloristics at Indiana University. My dissertation topic for my PhD, which I didn't finish, was Mormon humor. And so I was studying theories of humor and like incongruity theory and all these different things. And so I look at things like this, I way overanalyze it. It's one of the reasons that Tom sighs when I talk too much and people think that he and I don't like each other. So there you go, sister. Well, it's not just the Nine Inch Nails thing, right?
Yeah, well, if you notice, Justin, how he turned this whole discussion into – it, not just an interview of Justin, but into an interview of Glenn interviewing himself. I think that's pretty clever.
Okay, we'll edit that out. All right. So I read something like this that you wrote, and I see it as a critique on the culture that is kind of consistent with what's in the New Testament in James 2:20 with this scripture about faith without works is dead. You know, this is a scripture that we've been taught growing up that says that we use kind of in the Bible bashing grace against works thing, but it really means if you just say bless you, I hope that you get some food to somebody who's poor, but you don't actually give them food. That your faith, without actually putting some work behind it, is dead. That to me is exactly what you're saying with this Bishop Higgins thing. We pray for her with her headaches, but if you have some aspirin, that would help too. Was that like a conscious decision at all with what you were doing, or am I just completely reading into this here?
Not in that instance, but because, well, you know, there's a certain way that I think about things, and I think that the idea is this, that there's processes that you want to go through for healing, and it would seem to me the first thing you'd want to do is get aspirin. That'd be the first thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's funny that that the bishop says, let's pray, let's all pray. And does anyone have any aspirin?
Yeah. So that you think that it's funny that that would be the second route to go to, that the first route would be prayer and the second route would be aspirin.
I think that's funny, yeah. Okay. But see, so here's the thing, is that's the sort of thing that happens in the church a lot.
Yeah.
And so I just want to lightly poke at that.
Okay.
How about some of yourself, your own personality coming through Bishop Higgins? Like for example, do you really like Glee?
I liked it the first year, yeah. And that's that you know, the first song, that Journey song they sang in the first episode. That was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. But so that's Tom, that's really funny because that might be the only thing that I say I really like on the blog that I do. Other stuff was a joke, was a joke.
So you don't like apple juice?
Okay, apple juice and glee. Juice and glee.
Getting nitpicky.
And you don't like the Holy Ghost?
I like the Holy Ghost.
Okay, all right. All right, I'll lay off.
I have a t-shirt that says, I heart the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Excellent.
Hey, did you sell any of those t-shirts, by the way? You had a couple of links for some of those t-shirts on there. Did people buy them?
No, I sold one t-shirt, which I thought is kind of funny. I thought for sure I would sell two.
Your mom and who else?
Yeah, my mom and my brother.
Okay. All right. Well, I made a list of some of the common themes that I thought I saw in here. And if you thought you were putting in any others, please chime in and correct me. There was a lot about casseroles.
Yeah. And that, okay, so here's how I feel about the blog in general.
Yeah.
I feel like 30% I think was just solid, really great.
Yeah.
30% was pretty good. And then 30% was, I don't know, like, all right, well, I'll leave it up there. But, you know, I'm not that excited about it. Mm. Some of it was like easy jokes. Mm. And I think casseroles fall in that category. It was kind of an easy joke.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was solid gold. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what are some of your favorite Mormon cultural things you used to like to make fun of? I mean, there's casseroles, but what else?
I don't know why all the general authorities look the exact same. You know, they have the same hair. They talk the same way. I don't get that. And I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's kind of the quest for Zion, though. Like, be of one heart and one mind and one tailor.
But why can't we all look and sound more like Denzel Washington? Why can't that be the heart and mind we're trying to get to be?
Yeah. Yeah. There might be some obvious reasons why that we probably shouldn't go into too much in speculating on Denzel Washington, but yeah.
There's a thing, there's a post that said something about a general authority class, and I don't remember it.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Something about how the like if your wife is called, she can learn how to talk like she's talk to adults like she's talking to kindergarten kids, right, or something like that.
Yeah,
that's another thing I just think is so strange when you hear these people, the women in conference talk.
And wow. Like, are those the kinds of things you talked about threshold earlier? Are those the kinds of things that you find that, you know, like your mom or your wife would be offended by, that they would say, hey, you know, stay away from the general authorities or talking about their wives?
Yeah. And again, I think it matters how it's said. Mm-hmm. By me just talking to you saying, well, I don't get that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, then I sound like an idiot who's just offended at stuff that's, you know, that's no big deal. But if it can be written in a sort of a silly way or a humorous way, like a class about how to be a general authority at BYU, then it's easy to swallow. Like, ha ha, that's funny. It's not very offensive. I remember hearing Matt Groening talking about when he was pitching The Simpsons, the very first year he was pitching The Simpsons, and he talked about how he when they were asking him about the characters, and they said, well, what does Homer Simpson do? And he knew that if he said, well, you know, he kind of hemmed and hawed, well, he works at a nuclear plant, that they would say, no, 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 we got to change that. Yeah. Instead, he said, oh, yeah, that's the best part. He works at a nuclear plant. Like, that's part of the joke. And they all laughed and went along with it. I think it's the way it's said. And then everyone can laugh and go along with it instead of getting offended.
Okay.
Well, while we're speaking about being offended, because one of the only things on your blog that I actually laughed at, that I kind of felt like, is this wrong? Is a Brother Tibble, the Ward Gay.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever get any heat for that one?
No, because I just said he was the Ward Gay, and you know he was going to be in some plays. I didn't ever say anything about I don't think Prop 8 was going around at the time when
August Prop 8.
So, but I, you know, if I had written stuff about that, then people would have got uptight. And I wasn't trying to do a blog where people would take sides. And so I didn't ever want to do that. And so all I said was he was the ward gay. That's it. And certainly there's gay people in every ward. And so that's nothing to get worked up about. You know, there's a gay guy in your ward. You don't call him the ward gay, but he's there.
But he's asking where the road shows are, right?
Right. He's mad we don't do the ward show road shows, and he looks really nice. I bet he's got nice hair. Anyway, no one said anything about Brother Tibble's the ward gay, because he was pretty benign as a character. He just had a title. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did have one post where Bishop Higgins was really excited because Brother Tibble had gone on a date with a woman.
Yeah.
That did happen once, yeah.
I don't remember if he set that up or not, but you know, that's back a while ago. That was their way. They would say, okay, well, here's how you can not be gay. Well, start going out with girls.
Yeah. All right. You also had a segment that was a running segment, the week's most and sometimes least popular sins.
Yeah.
And you came up with some really creative stuff there.
Great. Okay. Is there a question there?
No.
He's just patting you on the back.
No, just wondering if there's any backstories there with any of the sins.
Well, I thought, you know, I started to think of the blog as almost a sort of like a talk show, in that, you know, we could have reoccurring themes, you know, like a segment. And that seemed like an easy one to repeat is least popular sins and most popular sins. And I've never been in a bishopric, but it wouldn't be hard to guess what the most popular sins are. And so, you know, just as the blog was absurd, I thought, okay, well, it can't be actually popular sins. It has to be amped up a little bit or ramped up a little bit. And so I just would think of, okay, well, what's a popular sin? You know, like, okay, petting, probably. I don't know. Yeah. And then, so how do you say something about that or make that funny? Like, well, I don't know. I can't do it on the spot. But anyway, that's how that came. It was a way to come up with posts where I could repeat something, because I wanted to post a lot, and sometimes I didn't always have an idea. But most popular or least popular sin was an easy way to come up with posts.
Do you remember when you came up with Mexican petting?
No. What was that?
I mean, you mentioned earlier that you didn't engage in comments very much, but there were occasions. There was a character, Tabitha Clausen.
Yes.
And
She's the ward vixen.
She was the ward vixen, and I happen to know that someone did take on the character Tabitha Clausen and engage you in a few conversations. And at one point, Tabitha asked you about the different types of petting, and your response was that there's heavy, light, and medium, and then there's also Mexican petting, which is the worst kind of petting. It involves Tabasco. So
okay, well,
that's pretty good.
I can remember that now, and I think that's funny. So to me, that's an example of one of the 30% that's genuinely funny about the blog.
Does it at all creep you out, Justin, that Glenn knows your blog better than you?
Well, he prepared for the interview. I haven't looked
You're
at
right,
it.
You're right, he did.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it for a while.
Yeah. Okay, continuing down my list of common themes, it seemed like there was a lot about commercialization, like different LDS products or things that were geared. And I think, you mentioned the class on whether it was bishops or becoming a general authority, the course that you could take at BYU. But there were a lot of products as well. Was that a conscious choice?
Yeah.
Sell this?
Yeah, I'm a business owner, and I know that what it takes to run a business, but it seems to me like there's a lot of products that people specifically gear towards Mormons because they think it'll be an easy sell, and I think that's then we should make fun of that. I think that's a strange way to do a business, is to say, well, I'll make more money if it's only for Mormons.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a good reason for it. But I think that was something easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
I remember seeing, before I lived in Provo, I remember seeing a sign that said, modest short sale. Modest shorts sale or something, a sale for modest shorts. And now there's a few companies around here that make that kind of clothing. And good, right? I mean, that's awesome, because people who probably want to dress modest are saying, where am I going to get stuff like that?
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. But there's other things where it's just specifically where they don't even want to try to sell to anyone outside the religion. I think that's funny to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got one more on the common theme, and this one I think above everything else really colored who Bishop Higgins was to me, and this was letting the public in on private conversations. And it seemed to color. I mean, he was always dropping these little hints that he shouldn't be telling you. But I'm not going to tell you who this is. But they drive a blue Lexus.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
So for me, that I don't know. I'm nosy. I'm super nosy, and I want to know everything. And honestly, as I've gotten older, I'm way better at keeping a secret. I can actually keep a secret, but it took me a while, And I just can imagine a bishop who is super nosy and actually can't keep a secret. And so he coats it down somehow,
Yeah.
Like he says, all right, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but they drive a blue Lexus. So he's keeping a secret. He still is keeping a secret, but he also gets to tell people, which is what he's dying to do anyway.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's where that came from. Just because I just would have a hard time keeping those kinds of secrets. But actually, I would probably not want to tell anyone. If I was an actual bishop, I probably would be so glad not to talk about that sort of thing for people, because I'm compassionate, and I would feel like they're hurting, and no one should know that. So listen, Glenn,
yeah.
Here's a theme I felt like was pretty strong.
Yeah.
Was deformities.
Yeah.
Like put your prosthetic shoulder to the wheel, right. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so there was a guy in my when I was a kid who really did have a little arm, and he and I were home teaching companions, and he was about 170 years old, I think, and I was 14.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we were out one time, and he said, here's how you figure out who you're going to marry. Here's what you do, and you find a girl you're going to marry. Here's what you do. Now, here's this really old guy.
Uh-huh.
Here's what he said. He said, you got to do two things. First of all, you got to take her swimming, and that way you can see your body. And the second thing you got to do is you got to take her on a trip, and then you can see what she looks like in the morning without makeup.
Mm.
Good advice from that guy with a little arm.
Yeah, that is good advice from a man with a little arm. Yeah. Wow. So did you?
Did I take that advice? I probably didn't.
Okay. Well, how has it worked out for you?
So far, so good.
All right. So I guess the lesson that we learned from Justin Hackworth is never listen to a man with a little arm.
Well, caution.
Okay, caution. All right. Perfect. All right. Any other common themes before we move on to the next exciting segment?
Let's see. No, okay. I can't think of any other themes.
How about you, Tom?
No, I seem like porn was brought up a lot, but yeah.
Well, that's another easy thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah, that's an easy target, and you hear that a lot anyway, so it seemed like an easy target.
All right. The next thing that I jotted down were some new practices and policies that were introduced by Bishop Higgins that I thought were probably part of the 30% brilliant that I'd love to see. And so I'll just go through this list pretty quickly. One, that Costco trips can count for family home evening. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, they probably already do.
Okay.
I mean, that they do for me. That's where that came from. That's actually happened.
Okay. It's okay to hate people as long as you don't tell the people who you hate. There's something called Spirit TiVo or SPiVo, which is the ability to TiVo the Holy Ghost, which
oh,
I think is
awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Bishop Higgins established the Casserole Reenactment Society. Pretty interesting.
Yeah,
this I think was a really interesting innovation where you give casseroles a blessing for the sick ahead of time and then give those casseroles to the sick people to eat them, and eating them heals the sick people. I can't believe no one thought of that before Bishop Higgins.
I wonder if people have. It's just never talked about. But, you know, I knew a guy who – this is where that came from. I knew a guy who on his mission – he would bring home his groceries from the grocery store on P-Day, and he would bless his groceries then, and then he'd have to say a prayer every time he had a meal.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a real time saver there.
Yeah. Wow. You just blessed the supermarket.
Goal-oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a concept of snake heaven. I had never heard of a snake heaven before.
Well,
I thought that was pretty novel.
Yeah, snake heaven, and there's probably a reptile heaven. There's probably a whole reptile heaven.
Okay, I would have thought that snakes would have gone somewhere other than heaven because of their whole role in the fall. But that's just me being judgmental, I guess. Yeah. Donkey basketball and donkey sacrament meeting.
Well, you know, there really is donkey basketball.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a true thing. That really is. And I remember they came to our junior high and played a game of donkey basketball. And I even looked it up to see if I had remembered that correctly. And it's true. There was a donkey basketball, I don't know, movement or something. And I thought, well, yeah, then let's have a donkey sacrament meeting.
I would want to pivot around the donkey basketball movement, but that might just be me. Yeah. at the Stockton to Malone testimony? Maybe you could explain what that one is.
Well, I just think, isn't there still a Stockton to Malone Honda dealership?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I just thought that was something worth joking about, Stockton to Malone Honda. I think that's the funniest idea when celebrities have a restaurant or a car dealership, you know. I'd love to get my car here because 10 years ago that guy played basketball.
Yeah.
That's a strange reason.
This was, I think, a great idea from Bishop Higgins, having a fundraiser for the Scouts, where they raise money for people on the condition that they not be called as Scoutmaster.
Yeah.
So they donate for not being called, yeah.
I've never been Scoutmaster, but I know people say that's the worst calling. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's worse, but...
What do you think about that, Tom? would you pay not to be called as a Scoutmaster?
I probably would consider it, yeah. I think so. I haven't done it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tithing implants that make it look like you're paying more tithing than you actually are.
I just think implants, I was, you know, because you know how you do, you think about implants from time to time.
Well, so maybe. From time to time, yeah.
Where else could that be applied? They've worked so well in other areas. What else could they do?
Yeah. Okay, and then you had in the list of innovations, you had several very intriguing ward callings that were introduced. And I don't know if there's any wards out there who have actually followed Bishop Higgins' counsel and brought these callings into existence. But I'm not going to read all of the ones that you introduced, but I've got a list of several. So there's the ward liar. And I wasn't clear if ward liar was an actual official calling or if that was just Alan Siepert's unofficial.
That was unofficial. He wasn't called as that. He just was that.
Okay. All right. There was the ward canning specialist. The ward doubter.
The ward canning specialist. That's probably true. Okay. I mean, don't you think there probably is someone like, I don't know.
Is there really ward canning specialist?
I think so.
There's not out here.
Unofficially, yeah, I think so.
Really?
But I'm certain there's not a ward doubter.
Not a ward doubter. Well, I think that's an unofficial calling. Out here. I might qualify. The ward boondoggler.
Yeah, wouldn't that be an awesome calling?
I don't know what that is.
Boondoggling. Did you ever see what's that movie where Save Pedro?
Oh, yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite. Remember that girl did boondoggling?
Oh, is that where you make the bracelets?
Yeah. Like, so when I was a kid, we had boondoggle, and you'd get this, like, you can make lanyards and stuff to hold your
chains. Yeah.
That's boondoggling.
Oh, now I know. Okay.
You were too popular for that, Glenn.
Was I?
Yeah.
Okay. The ward poet. Nice call.
Yeah, you know, like the poet laureate of the ward.
Okay. You had a ward Knudsen.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember the ward Knudsen. I don't know what that guy would do.
Oh, I don't know. I was flattered. There's a ward economist.
Got to keep things on track.
A ward butter churner.
Yeah, they probably would spend a lot of time with the casserole reenactment group.
Okay. The ward hand model.
George Costanza, right?
Yeah.
In case you want to do your own Mormon ads.
Okay. That would be good. Ward calling an election made sure verification specialist.
Yeah.
How would they go about magnifying that calling?
I don't know. A spreadsheet with a lot of figures, facts and figures.
Okay. Ward beekeeper.
Yeah, you know, industry. Got to keep the storehouse full.
Now, you actually have some beekeeping experience in Haiti, don't you?
I learned how to do beekeeping. Yeah.
Yeah.
I even put on one of the suits and had the helmet with the netting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it must have been after that that I said something about the word beekeeping.
Aren't you going to say something about me being creepy knowing that, Tom?
No, I was just going to say, is that the closest you've been to being an astronaut?
Yes, that is the closest. A beekeeper's helmet is the closest I've been to being an astronaut.
Well, if you're done with your list, Glenn.
I'm not.
You're seriously not?
Ward farm animal coordinator, the ward Sunday shopper, the ward massage therapist specifically for ward humpbacks, and I hope you don't have massage experience actually with the humpbacks. Ward blister popper, and then my favorite calling, brother and sister Conling.
What did they do?
I don't know. Yeah, you. Bishop Higgins, just that was a new calling, just brother and sister Conling. I assume he was just being magnanimous. He was just finding something for them to do, so he gave them a calling as themselves. I thought that was great. I'm done with my list now, Tom.
Okay, good. Whew. Thank you, Glenn. That was great.
You're welcome. Oh, don't thank me.
I wanted to ask Justin about the you alluded to a little sliver of your audience that kind of thought it was real. What your thoughts were that, how much fun you had with that, and did you play with them for a while, kind of thing.
I loved that. And actually, I wish there was more of that, where there was, you know, some uncertainty about what was going on. So the part I wasn't all that happy about was that they were really upset. So I liked the uncertainty and people wondering, what on earth? How can a bishop institute tithing elite? So that I like. But if people were actually upset and they would leave comments, you know, like, I can't believe you're a bishop. You need to be excommunicated. On the one hand, I think if they seriously believe this is real, then then they deserve to be angry for the hour. But I don't want to make people angry. So on the other hand, I'm kind of bummed that they couldn't get the joke. But
yeah.
I can't believe that there were people who would actually think it was real. I don't know if they're from in the church. I suspect they mostly are. But that was amazing to me. So I did play it up a little bit. If people would email me and say how angry they were, then I would email back. It was almost like a form letter, and it would say, thank you for your comments and love of the blog. As you can imagine, we get so many comments, we cannot respond to every one of them. But thanks for your support and your love. Blessings, Bishop Higgins, or something like that, you know? Like it was a form letter, as if someone had written saying how much they love the blog. That's the extent of how much I would carry on.
That's awesome.
Did you ever respond to people as yourself, as Justin, or it was just your form letter?
I think I did once. Someone from BYU, a student, wanted to do an on-camera interview, and I responded and said, I don't know how that's possible since, you know, because at the time I hadn't said who it was.
Yeah.
So I said, I don't really know how that's possible, but you can do a phone interview. And so there was a request for an interview and I did respond as myself. I think that's it.
Did they go through with the interview?
No. Because they, you know, she had an assignment and they really needed to be on camera.
Oh.
So what are you going to think about the irony when you are eventually called as bishop?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's never going to happen. That would be ironic. But I guess I'll go back to the blog and start digging out some of these ideas. I'm going to start with tithing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with the after witch. I'm going to come up with a sandwich called the after witch.
That was a good one. Oh, you know, I think I skipped over the potato bar for the less active. That was my favorite idea that you had.
The potato bar for the less active.
Yeah. That one was great.
Do you know, but don't you think someone's already actually done that? Maybe not a potato bar, but, you know, they have banana pancakes after church.
Yeah, they call it the linger longer. But you've got to stay all 3 hours for that. The brilliance of the potato bar was that it was right after sacrament meeting instead of Sunday school.
What I love is that you can only go if you're less active.
Right.
Like, and you can just picture the actives, and they can smell the bacon bits and sour cream, and they're so hungry. And the bishop says, "No way, man."
Yeah. It has elements of the prodigal son, you know, where they're like jealous of the prodigal son inactives getting to enjoy the potato bar while they're the faithful ones going off to the gospel doctrine class without enjoying the bacon bits.
Yeah.
So any future comedic endeavors, Justin?
Well, I got to think of something. I don't know what to do, though. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. But I feel like – so what happened is, you know, I mentioned I own a business, and I've just spent so much time doing that I felt like the blog was getting neglected, and I thought, okay, well, I can't just post once a month or every other month. So I just sort of figured it was done. But I'm not done. I mean, I think I have to do something, and I don't know what it is, Tom. So I don't know.
You better figure it out, because you got skills, man. I don't want to see your skills wasted.
I'll figure it out. I will. I think what's nice is I was happy with how the blog turned out. And I felt like, okay, yeah, I've got something here. I can do this. So something will happen. I don't know what. I don't know when either.
So the reason that you ended it, because I wanted to discuss this as well, it was mainly just the time? Because you would go times throughout the 4 years where you wouldn't post for a while, and then you'd come back and say, yeah, I've been in a basement for a while, or, you know, I've been out for a while. That was the main reason?
Well, I feel like to do it well, it should be consistent. And I didn't like that there were gaps. Mm-hmm. Because I really did want people to read it and come consistently. And so when there were gaps, I was felt bad, like I'm not doing it right. Mm-hmm. And then the gaps I just felt like they were going to get further and further, you know, wider and wider, these gaps. And so I felt like it was time to just say it was done. And I have been mostly happy with that, but I have to tell you, I miss it.
Yeah.
And there are things I think about when I think that's perfect for the blog. So there are times I miss it. And I don't know that I wish I hadn't stopped, but I sometimes wish I had something to do.
Now you also, kind of towards the tail end, you started doing a Facebook page and you had a Twitter account as well. Did you discontinue both of those?
I haven't said anything, done anything on them. I haven't deleted them.
Okay.
Like,
you don't use them.
I'll probably, when you guys have this podcast up, I'll probably post something on Twitter that this is up.
One of the things that you mentioned in your farewell, I mean, that was the first time that you really stepped out, you know, you broke that fourth wall and stepped out and said, hi, I'm Justin. I've been behind this the whole time. Why did you choose to do that at that time?
I don't know. I don't know if that was a smart idea, because I kind of liked the anonymity of it. I liked that idea that people weren't sure and they wondered who it was, and people swore it was someone in their ward that they knew, and I kind of liked that. Maybe I felt like since it was done, I wanted to be recognized for it. I don't know. Boy, that would be sad if that's the real reason, but I kind of think it might have been.
Yeah.
I wanted to take credit for it. I think that might have been it. Now that I'm talking about it, I think that might have been it.
Well, Tom might have a problem with that reason, but I understand it completely. I have no problems with that whatsoever.
Yeah, Glenn would, right at the beginning, this is Glenn Oslin before I dazzle you with my brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah. So you also mentioned that there were certain lines that you wouldn't cross with your humor in there. And just curious, what in your mind now, as you look back, what are some of those lines that you feel like you would never cross? And still, if you do a project in the future, where do you draw those lines in those thresholds? Where are those?
Well, things that are the most sacred about the church to practicing members and to me, I think, I didn't ever say anything about the temple or, what you wear, and nothing really specifically about the prophet or a specific prophet. I wouldn't, like I said, we talked about the Ward Gay. I wouldn't want to write about stuff, not because I felt like this was crossing a line, but I wouldn't want to write about stuff that I thought would be antagonistic, like it would really stir things up. But in terms of crossing the line, just mainly things that are really sacred for people. That's not the point. For me, it wasn't I don't have a grudge or I don't have a reason to make fun of the church. Since I grew up like this, I think there's a lot of things that are funny. I just want to point those out and let us all laugh at them. But I don't want to make fun of something or tear it down. Things that are really important to people. Does that make sense? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, it does. There was one thing, I kind of expected that you would say that the temple. You had one of your ward members was the executive secretary. It was Royal Samuelson, and you had maybe four or five audio clips that you put up on YouTube that are different. Calls that Royal Samuelson makes to different members in the ward for various reasons, and you kind of use some temple language in the calls that Royal Samuelson. I mean, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. yeah.
Did you ever get some like pushback on that?
No, no one ever said anything about that. That's more of like, for me, that was more of a joke about how the language just becomes entrenched in everything we say. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really think about what we say, cause we just hear it over and over again, which again, so is the sandwich called the After Witch. You know, people get up and say, we're going to have this happen, after which we'll have a song. I never hear anyone say the word after which except the church.
Yeah.
I never have heard that. Hey, honey, we're going to go to the mall, after which we're going to go to a movie. No one says that, but it's part of our language. And so it's just something we say. And so when Royal Samuelson made those calls, that was sort of a joke about that.
Yeah. All right,
but that I didn't feel like that was really anything about the temple. More about language in general.
Okay, I'm not going to bust you.
okay, I just want to say that I think the picture that was used for Bishop Higgins.
Oh yeah, I did want to ask you about that. Yeah.
Was perfect.
Yeah, it was.
I got that from iStock Photo.
Uh-huh.
And the regret is that there weren't more of him that I could have used throughout the blog, but I thought that guy was perfect.
Yeah.
I would love to.
He was.
I thought that was a perfect photo for Bishop Higgins.
Yeah.
I imagined Bishop Higgins as a really successful, really lovable, sort of like a reads Seven Habits and loves all that, he just a guy who's pretty clueless about stuff, except not so clueless that he hasn't been super successful. His wife's beautiful, his kids are basically well behaved, he lives in a good house, straightforward guy, but for some reason he's just clueless about a lot of stuff. Like,
so what's he doing today, Bishop Higgins?
Yeah, after he got released?
Yeah.
What's his calling?
Yeah, well, or, I mean, just in life, yeah, whether it's his calling or, you know, how's he doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's probably great, because he's not the sort of guy who would pine about not being bishop anymore. He would, you know, be moving on to bigger and better things, and I, you know, he's probably teaching the 8-year-olds in primary, and he, I bet he's got them on a exercise regiment, and he's got them memorizing Shakespeare and scriptures at the same time. Probably something, you know, the little kids, he's getting them to memorize things. He's probably doing that.
All right. Did he ever actually destroy his Shelley Long poster?
Yes.
He did?
He really had to destroy it, yeah.
And how exactly did it bring him comfort when he was struggling with his wife?
Well, there were some things about Shelley Long that reminded him of her, as of his wife, when his wife was younger.
Okay.
And maybe a little more fit.
Okay, I see.
So, you know.
Yeah, she has kind of let herself go as of late.
And that's that's Martha Higgins that we're talking about? Is she Martha?
No.
I don't remember her first name.
Okay.
Was it Martha?
I think so.
I don't know. Martha, boy, I bet it's not. It might have been Martha, but she should be renamed. It's probably something. It's probably something a little bit more refined than Martha. Something like Sophia. I don't know. Something a little more refined than Martha.
Yeah, I may have been confused. I thought that at one point it was Barbara, but then I thought that Royal Samuelson's wife was Barbara, so I could be confused.
Yeah, his Royal Samuelson's wife is Barbara, and that's perfect.
Okay.
Or Royal Samuelson, who's older than the bishop, you know.
Okay.
He's old.
He was a fantastic character.
Yeah, I like Royal Samuelson. I think he's great.
Yeah.
So let me tell you real quick how I would do the phone calls for Royal Samuelson.
Yeah.
I would just be in my car, and I had a little microphone for my iPod that I could plug in, and I would just start to talk. And because I do anyway, I talk in the car anyway. I thought, might as well get something out of it. So I would just start talking in the microphone, and then hopefully something would happen, you know, a good call. And then I'd go back and edit that little chunk that was worthwhile. So those were sort of time-consuming because there was a lot of talking and only some of it was worthwhile.
Yeah, no, I liked those. I thought those were really good. I think the Get Baked, I think that was the first one that you did, the bake sale where he was calling the family to let them know that their son was confused and thought it was a get baked sale, was a great example of the kind of passive aggressive, I'm being friendly but really delivering some bad news approach that is pretty typical of someone who's that age in the church.
Well,
he was really
he would
good.
Never have known what get baked was. Someone,
right.
I'm sure someone had to tell him
right.
what it meant.
Right. Yeah. No, that was a good performance. So.
And I don't remember if this was up, but there was one about how the conjoined twins, one of them didn't want to go to scout camp. Was that one up? Was there one about conjoined twins?
Oh, that's not familiar to me.
Yeah, I don't know if that made it, but I did one where he called and wanted to see if both conjoined twins were going to be going to the scout camp.
That's good. What's the answer?
I don't know. I think they're probably both going.
Yeah, I would think they would have to.
What if one didn't? Oh, well.
We'll never know.
I would wonder if the conjoined twins are sealed together for eternity.
there's got to be a post.
Hey, I made it pretty good without it.
There's a post in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final comments for our audience, Justin?
thanks for the interview, really, Glenn and Tom. This is great. I love talking about the blog, and I want to say that one of the great things was at the end when I decided it would be done. People said some really nice things, and it was so satisfying for me to read that people enjoyed it, and to think that there was people reading it and laughing. I was really satisfied by that. That was great. So I'm going to do something else. I don't know what it is, but it ought to be soon. And if I do, I'll post something on the Bishop Higgins blog.
Well, that's great. And I agree. I mean, if you go to the blog, for people out there, we'll put a link up on the Mormon Expression website, but it's bishophiggins.blogspot.com. And there's already, at this point, there's 170 comments on the final post that are all bidding a farewell to Justin and to the Bishop Higgins blog. They're all telling him how much they loved the blog, and we add our thoughts to that as well. So
absolutely.
So thanks for coming on, Justin. We look forward to your next project. And as always, the discussion continues on MormonExpression.com. And thanks again for coming on. Hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Bye.